Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of June 20th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us this time we have Chris.
Wow, you don't know who I was.
I don't know.
I was a hybrid.
I'm used to our standard opening. But you're here, Chris, and Joe's
not. I'm here. That's me.
Joe's at some concert or something, apparently.
Seeing Zach Wilde.
Okay, that's a good excuse, I guess, not to be on the podcast. So anyway, I'm sure we'll have one more standard rambling, sidetrack-plagued episode. So let's get right into it, Chris.
Let's get into the madness. All right.
Yeah.
So first up, what do we talk about?
Well, news like we usually do, and there's a bunch of trailers to talk about. First one, late breaking, right before this podcast started, the trailer for 300 Rise of an Empire dropped.
Yeah, because once you have a movie with numbers in the beginning, it's really hard to put a 2 somewhere.
302! Is it times 2 or plus 2 or two more guys? 302.
Yeah, like, why even call it 3? I mean, I get 300's now like a brand.
Yeah.
But you're not using 300 soldiers this time.
I think I was going to call it like Xerxes or something, like Xerxes Rise of an Empire. Or
the Rise of Xerxes was like the comic series, so.
Yeah. I think it was still 300, I think. It was like 300 Rise of Xerxes or something.
Hmm.
But it's kind of like, it's both like a it's like a sidequel, I guess. Sidequel / sequel. Because there's like, what's going on is that at the same time as the big battle of the 300 in the first movie, there was a huge naval battle that was occurring as well, with like Xerxes, like female naval commander, who's played by Eva Green in this movie, and she's like just like trying to like destroy the Greek navy or something, and I think it picks up afterwards too, where like Sparta's like, we're gonna just murder Xerxes so hard because they killed Leonidas, so basically all of Greece is coming for him now.
And the one thing I can't figure out is, like, they're showing, like, the fight that takes place in the naval part. I remember in the original movie, they just watched from the cliffs, and then the, like, storm hit them.
Yeah, I don't know if it takes, like, if there was, like, a bigger battle to, like, they make their way. Or if they, like, beat the Greek navy first, and they got to there, then they got destroyed or something.
Hmm.
I don't know, I haven't read the sequel books. I don't know exactly where it takes place in the timeline, but I know it's supposed to take place like sort of concurrently.
It's supposed to take like at least 10 or so years before it's just, you know, how Xerxes rises to become emperor, a god emperor.
The show did not really seem like that at all. It was like, well,
it seemed like the next day.
Here's Xerxes, like with an axe like up to like dead Leonidas' throat, so apparently it's taking place like immediately after 300.
And I mean,
and then
did Gerard Butler like get buff for that one scene and then like left again?
they like way back then they're like, well, we need to film this for the sequel that you're not in.
You're not gonna be in. Just stay on this floor and we're gonna hold this axe over your head. This doesn't make sense. I know.
He's like, hurry up, I'm late for Gamer.
Or I'm late for there's somebody else. No, that's years later. Like, yeah, I think like when that came out, like his next few movies were like romantic comedies.
Yeah.
I remember like his like 3 years later was
it's like, hurry up, late for the late, I gotta be in the set of the Bounty Hunter.
Oh man. Oh no, it was the one with Katherine Heigl.
Like
The Ugly Truth.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
What, it's like, he does, like, Gerard Butler does, like, three horrible, horrible romantic comedies and, like, does, like, an awesome action movie and then, like, three horrible romantic comedies. Hmm. The same thing happened, like, last year. We was, like, in, like, what was, like, that surfing movie.
No, he was in Machine Gun Preacher. Then he did that, like, Soul Surfer.
Yeah.
Weird thing.
And then, like, Playing for Keeps or whatever was, like, the soccer coach.
He's, like, the all-star soccer coach.
It just, like, bangs all the soccer moms.
Who all happen to be, like, hot and single.
Yeah. Anyway, back...
Yeah, Gerard Butler, he's got a rocket roller coaster. Hopefully he'll make up in, like, 5 minutes of this movie. Mm-hmm. Which he probably won't act in, really. He'll just be in it.
But yeah, definitely, like, 302 looks like definitely, like, whatever, everything you liked about 300 is back. Like, plenty of slow-mo and Sparta kicks and...
A lot of Sparta kicks.
And, like, Xerxes acting really, like, just, like, even more flamboyant now.
Yeah, like, you figure, like, test audience have been like, let's not do this again. But nope, they're like, bring it on.
He's making us uncomfortable.
This is the norm now.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, a lot of Persian fallback from that movie was, like, weird. It was like, oh, you know, Xerxes wasn't quite that feminine, or, you know, it wasn't that portrayed, and then he said, fuck it, let's make it even worse.
Give him more piercings. And the gold jewelry.
But I'm gonna miss the John Leguizamo monster. Like, I don't think he's gonna be back in the sequel.
Probably not.
So, let's see what happens. I mean, at this point, they can just make shit up, but they always want to try some weird quasi-historical references, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm just like, this movie's going to print money for, like, a day or two. It's never going to make, like, Avenger-sized money, but it's still going to make, like, bro money. Where, like,
it's kind of, it kind of got G.I. Joe retaliation this year, because it's supposed to come out in, like, August, I think.
Oh, man, they could put, like, digitally The Rock in it.
That would be amazing.
It's like, hey, man, Xerxes got huge. Is that The Rock?
It's just holy shit. The Rock as Roadblock.
He's in it again? Oh, man.
No, but it's going, it's getting pushed back to March of next year.
It's going to be in 3D.
I'm sure it is. Did you notice in the trailer if it said 3D? Like, see in real D or anything yet?
No.
So I'm betting it's probably like they're gonna like post convert it again for the next year. I wonder if they're gonna do like a 3D of the original one.
Really, they're gonna re-release it?
I was wondering if they would maybe do that.
IMAX 3D.
Yeah. Hmm. It might be pretty awesome in 3D.
Well, it's very.
Because there's a lot of like there's a lot of like foreground stuff going on that you could just like make like add like a fake digital like second camera to and like just push everything backwards a little bit.
Hmm.
Like, you know, like the ones like the scene where like Leonidas is just like laying waste to everyone in like super slow-mo.
That'd be cool.
And then there's like, because there's like guys in the front of that like in like the foreground, so you'd like just like make that super like get some depth to that. Might be pretty awesome. But yeah, so 302 coming out next year. Probably definitely keep an eye on that one. And then coming later in December of this year, another sequel, The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug is coming out in December. Trailer came out for that earlier this week. Did you check it out, Chris?
Yeah. I argue that it doesn't need to be like three movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, like, this was definitely leftover footage from the first movie. It's like, well, let's extend, like, them eating and drinking and looking through holes.
Well, they're also, like, they're basically putting in any sort of, like, all the side stuff. Like, the Silmarillion and all this other stuff. Like, all the, like, the weird, like, appendages and, like, all these other, like, short stories that Tolkien made. They're basically all getting put into, like, The Hobbit.
See, the thing about Tolkien stories, there's a reason why The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings are, let's say, his masterpieces, because everything else is fucking madness.
Yep.
Like, everything else is his personal views on the world back in the 20s, or, like, a little bit earlier. Like, that's his childhood, let's go back. And it's all, like, out of context racism.
Like, post-World War One, like...
Yeah, it's just like... No, it's like, if you read some of his, like, poetry slash, like, lore, some of it doesn't really have an end. Some of them just kind of begin and end at, like, pieces. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, weird vagrants of, like, of things that, like, you can kind of see the symbolism. You're like, this is, like, blatantly about, like, capitalism, or like, this is blatantly about, like, minorities, like, getting power. Like, it's creepy. So now, like, watching this and, like, they're trying to shove this into The Hobbit, it just comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the first one, Unexpected Journey, they put in, like, this... I guess in, like, one of the, like, stories from, like, the Silmarillion, I guess, is, like, sort of, like, the rise of Sauron. He's, like, a necromancer in, like, this weird dead fortress. And then they put that... They sort of set that up in the first one, and they're, like, I guess Gandalf could go, like, investigate that in this one.
How about they just, like, sit down and open a book and they start reading it for, like, an hour in the movie?
We must research this. It's, like, real time, just, like, reading.
Real time, yeah.
You kind of just, like, smoking his pipe and, like, reading this book for, like, an hour and a half.
No, the fans will love it. Oh, add to the extended edition. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. I almost have a feel, like, I'm so certain that, like, when this movie comes out in, like, a giant Blu-ray combo, a year or two later, the extended edition gets released, where it's, like, 3 hours more footage for a movie. It's like, oh, yep. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what they're doing is, like, this is going to basically, I think this is going to try pretty much wrap up The Hobbit, and then the third movie is going to be sort of, like, this weird, like, bridge movie between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. So they're going to bring, like Aragorn and all other, like, characters from the Lord of the Rings. what they're doing prior to Lord of the Rings, I guess. But yeah, so, Desolation Smaug, the dwarves and Bilbo are still on their way to the dwarf kingdom to get it back from Smaug the dragon. Mm-hmm. And now they end up in the Mirkwood Forest and run into everyone's favorite elf, Legolas. And then, Evangeline Lilly is, like, another, like, elf. So there's, like, a bunch of, like, elves in this movie. And then the bad guy from the first movie, which is, like, this, like, white orc who, like, had his hand cut off by Thorin Oakenshield. He's, like, the leader of the dwarves. So he's, like, still, like, after them, and it like, looks like there's gonna be, like, a big, like, elf versus orcs battle. And then Benedict Cumberbatch is gonna be playing Smaug, the voice of him.
Just a giant dragon. If you didn't like him enough as, like, guy from Star Trek,
yeah.
Or weird Sherlock. Medieval Sherlock, yeah.
I was waiting for put in one of his lines from, like, the Star Trek trailer of, like, "Shall we begin?" But he didn't. I was a little disappointed when you get to hear him talk in this trailer. But hopefully, in, like, next trailer, we'll get to hear some Benedict Cumberbatch going on.
It's like not even computer gen like affected. It's just like him talking. That'd be funny.
He's got an awesome voice.
Yeah. But it's, like, not what you imagine a dragon would sound like.
Well, these are, like, proper British intelligent dragons, apparently. Yep, so that's coming out. I'll probably be checking it out. You still haven't watched the first one, Chris, so.
Nope. So let's see what happens. Yeah. Maybe I'll just go see the second one and just start asking people what's going on.
Who's that? What's that?
What's going on? What happened to his hand?
Then someone, like, stabs you with, like, a fake sword or something. Shut up!
Wait, I thought he already had the ring. Where's Frodo?
Where's Sam? So, also, late last week, I don't know, it's weird, I don't know what happened, because there wasn't really any big movies out last week, but there was a ton of trailers for, like, these weird, like, B-level thrillers that are coming out in, like, the fall and winter. So did you see any of these trailers, Chris? I put them all on the site, but
no, but we could talk about
like
it.
Probably the biggest one that like looks the most interesting is Paranoia, which stars Liam Hemsworth, and he is like this like security expert who gets hired by Gary Oldman to go infiltrate Harrison Ford's company and like steal like this is like. Tech project they're working on, But then Harrison Ford finds out, and then, like, Liam Hemsworth, like, caught in between both of them. They both want to, like, get him arrested or take him down or something. And then he, like, tries to, like, figure out this plan to take
play both
down.
Sides.
Yeah,
I mean, in any movie where, like, both, when there's two, like, major blockbuster, like, actors in it, and they're using, like, the new up-and-comer, like, actor, mm-hmm. both actors are just instantly evil.
Yep. Looks like they're gonna have some, like, at least one awesome, like, face-off scene with each other. Like Harrison Ford's, like, I can't remember, like, the whole thing, but it's like, you have to remove your foot from my, you have to remove my foot from your throat. And then Gary Oldman's, like, something. Gary Oldman, like, his normal, like, British accent for once.
I really want to talk about next is the Getaway trailer.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, again, we keep making fun of Ethan Hawke, but, like, no one should be in a relationship or like, be near Ethan Hawke in movies, because it's like you never have a good time.
Yeah, so Getaway is Ethan Hawke, his wife gets kidnapped by some mysterious guy, and then he has to steal a car, so he steals, like, this, like, super souped-up, like, Shelby Mustang Cobra that happens to be owned by Vanessa Hudgens, I think, who, like, has a gun and, like, is, like...
No, it's not Vanessa Hudgens. It's Selena Gomez.
One of them is in, like...
No, it's... You know, Vanessa Hudgens, like, of age. Selena Gomez just became, like of age.
One of them's in that movie, and then one of them's in the Nicolas Cage movie that's coming out.
Ah.
So, yeah, I think Selena Gomez is in Getaway.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It just seems kind of weird when you see, like, Ethan Hawke, like, and he looks like he could be Selena Gomez's father.
Yep.
And it's creepy how, like, they have to share a car together.
Well, I guess it's because, according to the description, it's, like, it's her car, I guess. And he tries to carjack it, and then she's like, no, don't steal my car, I got a gun. But then he's like, well, whatever, I'm stealing it anyway. And then she's like, all right, I guess I'll help you get your wife back.
Well, no. The car itself is rigged. That's the point.
I guess the description is, like, way off then, because, like, the description is, like,
yeah.
he steals an unsuspecting owner in her car or something.
It makes it seem like...
Like, he just, like, it was, like, the most random, like, he just randomly picked the car and stole it.
Ah. Hmm. I mean, it's weird, because this movie's kind of like... It feels like this could be a Nicolas Cage movie.
Pretty much. It's like, it's kind of like Stolen or something.
I mean, it definitely is like Shelby GT's giant commercial.
Yeah.
So, it's like, oh, co-star is Ethan Hawke, Selena Gomez, and a Shelby GT.
Mm-hmm. I believe John Voight is the bad guy in this movie, so that might be interesting. He's doing like, it sounds like he's doing, like, a weird, like, variation of his Anaconda accent.
Yeah.
He's like,
I definitely could hear it. It's great, because you don't see him. All you hear is
Paraguay, I steal your wife. And then we take the snakes.
And then we take it to the snake, and he eats you, and it squeezes you so hard.
He squeezes you tighter than your lover ever did, and then you can't breathe. Yeah, so that's coming in the fall sometime. And then, we mentioned it, but, like, there's a Nicolas Cage movie coming out later this fall with Vanessa Hudgens in it, also, called The Frozen Ground. And Nicolas Cage is I think it's in Alaska. He's, like, an Alaskan detective. And there's a serial killer running around murdering young girls, and then Vanessa Hudgens is, like, the only one who's escaped so far. And... She leads them to believe it's this like local guy played by John Cusack. But then everyone's like, oh, he's like a nice guy around town. He wouldn't be a murderer. So, like, no one believes him. And then, like, Nicolas Cage is, like, trying to, like, get evidence to, like, take him down. And it looks like unlike recent Nicolas Cage movies, it looks like it actually could be like a fairly like
competent movie.
Like thriller. Like, it's, like, very serious, and, like, they're actually, like, pulling out, like, the Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage credit.
man, he hasn't shown that face in, like, since National Treasure.
Yeah. Star Academy Award winner, Nicolas Cage. Yes, he actually won one.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that, like, John Cusack has been trying to be Nicolas Cage for, like, the last few movies he's been in. So now he's, like, up against the master himself.
I know, it's like, who is the better illusionist?
Yes. The apprentice becomes the master.
Who mastered the freakout?
Yeah, who will have the best freakout and, like, just, to, like, move their hands in the most wild fashion?
I mean, we could probably watch it and debate if, like, if they switch roles, will the movie still make sense?
Oh my god, if it was Face Off 2?
Oh, man.
That should be Face Off 2, like, Nicolas Cage and John Cusack switch roles, but they're just the same person. Like, none of their personality doesn't change at all.
Their acting improves at certain sections.
Yeah. Yeah, so a bunch of other trailers up on the site. You can go check those out. There's one of them, like, just like this weird, like, online poker thriller with, like, Justin Timberlake and Ben Affleck called Runner Runner. I don't know. There's a sci-fi movie with Christian Slater called Stranded. I don't know. It's like a lot of, like, all these weird movies that you've never heard of until this week, but apparently they're all coming out sometime this year. And then, so moving on to other stuff. Actually, another trailer still, but did you check out the season 3 promo for Luther, Chris?
I try not to, because I don't want to spoil anything for me.
The show doesn't really have anything in it. It's just like...
Carefully. You never know. You always get hints of stuff, and then you got problems.
It's like, is Luther back? Yes. Is he still pissed off? Yes. Okay.
Well, I bet... You know, I bet what happens is that, like, that girl he rescued is dead. She probably, like, disappears.
Oh, from the second season?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like, the main thing it looks like is, like, Alice is back.
Yay!
Like, I don't know where she went in season 2, but I guess she's back for the season.
Well, she went into hiding because she killed that guy, and it's like, they explain, like, yeah, like, you don't become a murder suspect and then stick around.
Yeah. And two more criminals we have to take down. It's going to be 4 episodes. And the crazy thing is, they're actually going to be doing them back-to-back-to-back. So 4 nights in a row. It's going to be the entire 3rd season of Luther on BBC America. So I think I don't know when it's going to start, but it's gonna start, whatever day it starts, it's going to be like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Luther. Which they actually just did that, like, this past week with another show, which I'll talk about in show and tell, but, In the Flesh, this, like, zombie show. They actually did it, like, it was, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was, like, all 3 episodes.
Nope.
Which, I mean, that it kind of works for, like, British shows, because, like, instead of, like, stretching it out for, like, 4 weeks, it's like, well, there's only 3 episodes. Let's just do them all in one go here.
I mean, I kind of appreciate them having, like, coherent stories, but 3 episodes is not a season.
It's a series. Is what they call it over in the UK.
Goddamn UK.
Series 3.
Sometimes when they add to it, or they reboot a series, like a whole franchise, they call it something else. It's, like, weirder. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, it's coming out in September. I don't know the exact date, but it's.
So, Tuesday, I called it.
A Tuesday in September, it's coming out, according to Chris. So moving on to other stuff. Big thing going on this week is E3, the big video game extravaganza in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not going to talk about every, like, if you want to, like, find out about video games, go to a video game site. But there is a couple of video, like, stuff that got announced is, like, sort of in our wheelhouse.
That's relatable.
Yeah, I mean, we're all huge gamers, but, like, we're not, like, I don't think we can focus on games as well as, like, movies and TV.
Too fast. Because,
like,
us.
It's either your, like, video game site or, like, your movie/TV site. You can't really, if you try to do both, you're completely overwhelmed, I think. But, so a couple things that got announced. At the big Sony press conference on Monday, they announced there's going to be a Mad Max game coming from Avalanche Studios, who did the Just Cause games. So that sounds pretty awesome. Open world, Mad Max, post-apocalypse, just driving around in your awesome car, scavenging people, and, like, maybe driving tankers. I don't know. Fighting against, like, weird cannibals and stuff.
I mean, Mad Max has been the inspiration for a lot of post-apocalyptic games, so it's nice to see, like, you know, it come full circle.
Yeah.
But, I kind of want them to make a movie. I don't know why
they're making a game.
I know it's coming, but, like, go focus on the movie. Don't worry about the game.
The interesting thing that a lot of people pointed out is, like, they didn't show Max's face. It could be, like, sort of Tom Hardy-inspired Mad Max as opposed to, like, Mel Gibson Mad Max. Yeah, apparently they're filming that in Australia right now, so hopefully that's coming soon. Was it Fury Road, I think, is the name of the movie? Mad Max Fury Road?
It's supposed to be a prequel to Beyond Thunderdome, so...
Is it a prequel to all of them, or is it a
I don't actually know. I think they're just going to establish a reboot.
Yeah.
They never fucking say it. As long as they bring back Tina Turner, I'm happy with that.
Bring back Lord Humongous. And the weird, like feral kid. With his boomerang. Man. Yeah, Road Warrior is, like... They're all, like, Mad Max and Road Warrior are awesome. It's just, like, there's so much weird stuff in them. Like, every single person at that weird, like, refugee camp or whatever that Max ends up in is, like, weird, like, British, like... Like, some, like, it's, like, a weird, like, inventor guy, and, like, one looks like poor man's David Bowie, and, like, it's just, like,
it's a whole bunch of weird things.
British stereotypes, like, put them all in this one place.
Surprised they're not having tea during most of that.
Yeah. There has to be a mission in this game where you have to, where you drive a tanker, and you have to, like, fend off people.
They might,
And then you get a trophy or achievement that's called "I'll drive that tanker." Or you get to fly like that weird like helicopter thing the crazy inventor guy invents.
Oh, the weird like tripod helicopter.
Yeah. But yeah, so other sort of movie / game stuff that came out, Ubisoft announced that they're making Assassin's Creed with Michael Fassbender already.
That works.
Yep. That could be potentially one of the first, like, truly awesome video game movies. Good video game movies. And not, like, awesomely bad, but, like, actually awesome. But they also announced Michael Bay is going to produce a Ghost Recon movie.
It's really easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much get random terrorist threat, send the whole movie's like, send ghosts in to stop the terrorist threat, and that's your movie. Give them some crazy gadgets, and then they go in and stuff.
The thing is, you don't need to make it into some, like, weird, over-the-top, like, G.I. Joe movie. You know, I bet they're gonna try to go for that kind of tone.
They could probably make a pretty good, try to be serious with it.
Yeah, but, like, have you played the original Ghost Recon games?
The only one I played is, like, the most recent one.
Future?
Yeah, Future Soldier.
Which is, like, the weirdest title.
Or is it, like, Advanced Warfighter? I think is that what it is?
Advanced Warfighter was for the next gen. The last one was called Advanced Warfighter, like, Future Soldier.
Yeah.
But, like, Ghost Recon itself is just a special squad, which is... Like, what makes them special is that they're ghost-like.
And they have, like, weird, like, cloaking technology and drones and...
That's the last one. That was back when, like, Modern Warfare used the whole drone thing. Set it Battlefield.
That was actually a pretty awesome game. The last Ghost Recon game.
Ah.
Because you could do synchronized, like, kills with your squad. You take him, and then you just go... So you'd, like... That's how you, like, stealth your way through the map. It's like... Oh, there's three guys ahead of us. We'll just take them all out and move on. But yeah, so Michael Bay producing that one. Given that, I'm sure there's gonna be like just it's gonna be like ridiculous, like over the top explosions and like possibly robots. Because there was, in the last game, there was like a giant robot that you got that helped you out.
I didn't know.
It was kind of like, have you seen like the video, like that weird like robot that they're trying to like make for like, to like carry supplies and stuff? Like the four-legged robot?
No.
It's like Big Dog, I think it's called. But like, yeah, the army's trying to develop like this, like all these different robots.
Yeah, I mean, there's one that like kind of walks like a giant cow.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm talking about. But yeah, the one in the game is like, it's just like this like giant walking tank with like guns on it. But yeah, so they're also talking about doing a Far Cry movie, a Watch Dogs movie, and a Rabbids movie. And they also said there's going to be a Rabbids TV show on Nickelodeon.
That's fine. Raven Rabbids is actually pretty hilarious, like the cutscenes.
Yeah. That'd be a
But Far Cry already came out.
Yeah. Uwe Boll.
Yeah, it's a
Uwe Boll classic.
Weird German Far Cry movie, which they use the right source material. It's your all over the top European movie.
Yeah. Like Uwe Boll was like, I'm going to make a statement with this movie. We're going to talk about American politics and the foreign policy and also like German engineering. And also comedy. It's going to be a comedy action movie. But yeah, I wonder, like, I'm sure it'll probably be more Far Cry 3 based.
Yeah, it definitely, the first game is not bad. The second game is, takes place in Africa and you get malaria.
Yeah.
It's a game mechanic. So.
And your gun just constantly, like, gets, like, jams up or malfunctions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, I am going to wait in line. No matter how long it takes. And I have to get Michael Biehn to be Rex Power Colt.
Yep, just put some, like, slap on some cyborg metal on him, and he's good to go. Mm-hmm.
And, then Watch Dogs, I guess. That game hasn't even come out yet, but, I mean, it looks like an awesome game. And I guess it could be an awesome movie. Like, I'm sure we have to wait until we see what the actual story of the game is.
You know what the problem is? It's suffering from, like, good engine. The game looks fantastic. Like, if you think about it, it's a great-ass tech demo for, like, the future of game technology. How, like, fast-paced and how it looks.
Yeah.
But that's, like, part of the engine. That's not the gameplay itself. Like, that's just, like, you know, like, Assassin's Creed was, like, this amazing-looking game, and then you played it, and then it's, like, this got really repetitive real fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna see. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'd say like I bet you some parts can get like ass repetitive. It's a Ubisoft like staple.
Yeah. Watch Dogs 2 will be amazing.
Yeah, Watch Dogs 2 will be fucking fantastic. People will be like, holy shit.
And then
let's make 5 of them.
Yeah. And then I think last thing, unless there's anything you probably think of after we talk about this, Chris, but Arkham Origins new trailer. I'm sure we're all excited about that here at Everything Action.
I already pre-ordered like a month ago, so I have to get excited.
Okay. They at this, I think it was at Sony press conference as well. They had a new trailer which showed that the Joker is gonna be back. Unfortunately, not voiced by Mark Hamill, and also Batman's not voiced by Kevin Conroy, so it's kind of a disappointment on both of those fronts. But yeah, Joker, like, so it's younger Joker, younger Batman, like, Batman's, like, first, like, I think it's his second year, so, like, year two. And they also announced that there's gonna be, like, exclusive bat suits on the PS, like, well, Sony platforms, I guess. So, and one of them is gonna be Adam West costume, which I think a lot of people were clamoring up for, like, the last, like, for, like, Arkham City. Like, I want Adam West Batman!
The modding community was able to do that.
It'd be amazing if, like, if you put that custom on and then you start talking like Adam West, and you also got, like, Bamf and, like, Pow, and, like, all these, like, weird, like, sound effects coming up every time you punch someone. And then I think, one other movie-related thing, EA showed off the first sort of footage from Need for Speed, the movie.
Not interested.
Yeah, it looks like it's all like behind the scenes, like it's not even like what it's gonna look like, but it looks like super generic. Like, we made a Fast and Furious movie that's not Fast and Furious, but like not even like current Fast and Furious. It's like Fast and Furious 1 level. Like, it's all about racing, and like I'm sure it's gonna have some weird like terrible like side like subplot about like some criminal or something.
See, like, how we're just generically saying things that probably are going to be the plot?
I'm sure Aaron Paul is going to have to, like, he's some sort of cop. He's going to have to, like, go undercover as a street racer to, like, figure out some murder or some crime or something.
I remember, I think Need for Speed Underground were, what the hell's her name? They always had, like, one random actress in them.
Yeah. Like, was it Undercover, I think? They had, what's her name? From,
Yeah, Die Hard.
Oh. Are you talking about Eliza Dushku was in one of them?
Eliza Dushku was in Most Wanted.
Okay.
And then Undercover was, Jade, not her Jade, whatever the hell her name was. But, okay, I digress. We're going to get stuck on this one and complain about just, like, how that was the random acts of, like, movie stars popping in.
They brought back FMV, which is always hilarious. Oh, yeah, Maggie Q, by the way.
Maggie Q.
Yeah. Yeah, so E3, go check out a bunch of videos on YouTube or whatever. We have a couple on the Tumblr, but we're probably not going to have too much stuff on the site about it, because everyone else is covering it, so we don't need to. And then moving on to last bit of news for this week, it was actually announced earlier this week that Fox bought the IP for Choose Your Own Adventure.
Which I thought you couldn't really do that.
Well, I mean, it's a brand, so you can just buy the brand.
But, like, I'm saying, like, the concept of just, like, go to the next, go to this is, like...
Yeah, there's a ton of, like, knockoffs of Choose Your Adventure that came out at the same time, like, Give Yourself Goosebumps or... I don't know. There's one that required, like, you to, like, look at magic eye pictures, I remember I had. It was, like, try to figure out this magic eye picture and then turn to... If you want to run away from that thing, go turn here. If you want to fight it, turn here. It's like, I don't know what it is. Black and white magic eye picture looks like a blob. But yeah, so Fox said they're going to try to do like a multi-medium revival, I guess, of Choose Your Adventure, which may be a movie, maybe new books, maybe a game. No one knows. This bought, like, the whole, like, the brand, the Choose Your Own Adventure.
Awesome. It could be anything you want it to be.
Pretty much.
That was a radio show. Just something unexpected.
Do you remember, like, any specific ones that would make like, a good, like, movie or, like, a game or something?
I know a terrible one that I read. It's about this kid who goes back to, like, ancient China.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the ending...
Was, like, the title, like, Your Chinese Adventure or something?
Something like that. It's like your weird time travel adventure to the East.
You're in China? That's the name of the title.
Yeah, and it's just like, I remember like I was like six, and it's like it definitely was like a book from like the mid 80s or like late 70s.
They started like the 80s, I think, so they're all like 80s, 90s.
Right, but like this one was like totally out of sync of the times. And I remember like half the answers were always like, oh, you got stuck in China, like build a great wall.
You become a slave. Your body ends up in the walls, the bricks of the Great Wall of China for all eternity.
Yeah, like a lot of them are like, oh, you fucked up a lot, and now the Emperor wants you to, like, personally build a wall with, like, the rest of the Chinese people. I'm like, holy shit.
God. There were some insane Chinese adventure books. Like, I think there's one, I think there was one called, like, Space Vampire. Or, like, Space Dracula.
How does that make sense?
And then, when I read a bunch was, like, You Are a Millionaire. And it was like, you find, like, this briefcase full of money, and then you get, like, do you try to find the owner, or do you spend it? It's like, spend it. And then basically, it turns into, like, blank check. The rest of the book of, like, you just buy all this random crap, and then, like, these, like, criminals, like, who actually had the briefcase, like, come after you.
Hey, kid, where's Mr. McIntosh?
Yeah, pretty much. And then the other one I remember was, it's like, I think it was like, you're having the worst day of your life, or the worst day of your life, and it's just like, it was almost like a parody of Children of Adventure books, because like, it was like, every possible horrible thing you can imagine is happening in this book, of like, you walk outside, a tornado, like, random tornado happens, and you go back inside, and there's a bull in your house. And other, like, crazy stuff happens from there.
I bought Arl Stein's version of the Make Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, give yourself goosebumps, I had a ton of those.
Yeah, I got one where, like, you find a mummy, and half the book's him just, like, chasing you around, or, like, he switches... I remember one ending was he switches bodies with you.
Yeah. So. They got, like, even, like, the Chosen Adventure, like, knockoffs, and I think even, like, Chosen Adventures themselves, like, they're just kind of, like, because of the competition, they were constantly, like, trying to, like, make themselves more and more complicated. So eventually,
yeah.
Eventually, like, because there's, like, super Give Yourself Goosebumps and, like, super Chosen Adventures, where it's, like, you have to, like, manage an inventory and, like, make a, there's, like, a map that you have to, like, keep going back to, and, like...
Yeah, that's not fun reading anymore. Like, I can't take a poop and read through that. I'm fucking drawing a map on the toilet.
Yeah, I think, like, one of the Give Yourself Goosebumps ones was, like, Escape from the Museum, or, like, and it's, like, here's the map of the museum. You have to, like, explore every exhibit. It's like, no! And, like, make sure you keep track of your items so you know what items you have. And actually, if you want to, like, check out some, so I guess, I think they came out at the same time, but, like, they're getting released on, like, Android and iPad right now, but, like, Fighting Fantasy, and actually, like, Steve Jackson, who made, like, Munchkin and a bunch of, like, board games, actually, like, wrote a bunch of them, but, like, they're on, like, they're sort of, like, more mature Choose Your Adventure books, because, like, people, like, there's actually, like, blood and, like, you actually, like, die horrifically in them and stuff.
Jesus.
And it's sort of more of a game, because you have to, like, roll dice to, like, sort of, like, fight things, and, like, you get weapons and stuff. There's actually a Judge Dredd one that's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Just, I think it's, like, Tin Man Games, if you look those up on, like, Android or the iTunes store, you can find, like, a bunch of books, or, like, Fighting Fantasy. So I think that's it for news. Is there anything else you can think of, Chris, that you saw that we need to talk about?
Did you see the trailer for Tai Chi Man?
No, I didn't see that trailer.
It's like Keanu Reeves is like weird, like I'm in a movie.
Is it like what was that, like Ip Man?
No, no, no. This is like this. It's a weird like Street Fighter movie.
Oh, okay. So it's where, not like based on it. It's not based on a true story or anything.
No, no. This is way.
Is this Keanu Reeves Man with the Iron Fist?
Yes, it is. That's actually a good way to put it. Basically, it's just like Keanu Reeves loves fucking underground fighting. And he loves to see, like, this one guy fight. So he, like, basically sets up a tournament just to watch this one dude kick ass.
Oh, God.
And break this dude's spirit. Like, I bet you, like, there's some sort of deeper connection. Like, they have the same master at one point or whatever. Like, it's kind of implied that both Keanu Reeves and him, like, have the same fight style.
To, like, Ken and Ryu, basically.
Yeah, but, like, they're two different generations apart. Like, they're...
Or is Keanu, like... Is Keanu, like, M. Bison from the Street Fighter Legend Chun-Li or something?
It kind of is, yeah. It kind of is just, like, hey, like, I want to see you, like, win fights. And then, eventually, the movies... Then it's cool, because you see a bunch of, like, different MMA fighters and, like, movie martial artists from other things. Like,
is Scott Atkins in it?
I hope. Like, it feels like he just pops in for, like, a fight.
Tony Jaa.
No, but Tony Jaa's like second guys in
it. Oh, man.
Like half the cast from The Raid is in it.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's the one thing I pulled away from it was like this definitely was like on Keanu Reeves' mind for a long time, and he just like found enough money to make this weird kung fu fantasy movie that he always wanted to make.
He hasn't done anything in a while.
Yeah, but, like, here's another trend that I'm seeing a lot of, is, like, old Hollywood versus, like, the next generation. You know, like, that movie with, like, Runner Runner.
Yeah.
Like, Ben Affleck is playing a bad guy. You know, like, you know, normally he doesn't play bad guys. Now he's playing, like, a bad guy.
Uh-huh.
And then, in this movie, Keanu Reeves plays a bad guy. And then, what's the other one? The freaking Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman. They're both bad guys. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, huh. It's just anyone who's been a hero in the past, like, 5 years or so, they are just, now they're becoming villains now.
Mel Gibson and Machete Kills.
Oh, man. Mel Gibson hasn't been a villain in anything.
He's got to have been a villain at some point, right?
No.
Yeah, I guess probably his ego wouldn't let him be a villain.
He might be an anti-hero, but he's never, like, blatantly the villain.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's it for news. So we're going to get to new release roundup for the week. And our pick of the week is House of Cards Season 1 on DVD and Blu-ray. So if you don't have Netflix, you can finally check out that awesome show.
Or you can check out the whole series from 1981.
Oh, the weird British one?
The whole British one about Parliament?
It's going to be even more incomprehensible than the American one. Because, like, at least the American one, I know, you know, like, some sense of, like, what's going on. Like, when they mention, like, like the House of Representatives or the Senate or, like, bills and stuff. Like, you know, like...
So you know some structure.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Schoolhouse Rock. I know how a bill gets made, so... Like, I don't know how British Parliament works. Like, they cast a raven into, like, the wind, and it floods. It brings, like, a birch tree back, and then, like, gets into the...
And then they go to the orphanage,
yeah.
And they pick the fattest orphan to weigh on a scale.
Yep. They cast their wigs into the fire and see what images come out. Yeah, House Card's awesome. Kevin Spacey is amazing in it. If you haven't seen Netflix yet, go watch it. But if you don't have Netflix, definitely check it out on DVD or Blu-ray. And then also this week, we have Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
The unrated edition.
Yeah. It was already rated R, so I don't know how much more unrated it could be.
Well, I heard that they put like 10 more minutes of footage of fights and blood in it.
Okay. Apparently it's from the guy who made Dead Snow.
Yeah. But, like, wasn't the movie PG-13?
No, it was R when it came out.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they were trying to PG-13
it. That's why it made no money. I'll probably check it out at some point this week, maybe. It's at Redbox. Oz the Great and Powerful is also out this week.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
like,
on one hand,
are they making a sequel?
I'm sure they are. It made a pretty nice chunk of change. I don't think it wasn't. I think they were a little disappointed with it, I think, because it didn't make like Alice in Wonderland money, but still made pretty good money, I think. So they're probably gonna do like a sequel or something.
Hmm.
Snitch is out this week. The first rock movie from the year. It's like go into the world of drug dealers to like get his son out of jail.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like it could have been a Mark Wahlberg movie.
pretty much. And, like, I'm sure they're talking about it on the set of, like, Pain and Gain. They're like, yo, I was in this movie. I was, like, basically in the movie that you would have done, Mark. It's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. They gave me that script, and I was like, I'm already doing this other movie where I'm a father trying to get my son back from jail if I go undercover with drug dealers. We have Burn Notice Season 6 is out this week, which is, I think, a little late because the seventh final season already started, but I guess you want to, like, delay it a little bit. You can catch up on Season 6 and watch Season 7.
One day I'll finish the series, the whole thing.
Season 7 off to a pretty good start.
Are they still in Miami?
It started off in, like, the Dominican Republic because, like, Michael was, like, sort of back in the CIA, and now he's, like, in deep cover with, like, a crazy, like, depression beard, and, like, he's, like, just, like an alcoholic almost, getting, like, underground, like, bar fights.
awesome.
We have Lilo and Stitch dual pack, which is both Lilo and Stitch movies. And also Atlantis Lost Empire dual pack, which is both Atlantis movies.
Oh, man, the sequel was so bad.
The first one was all that hot.
Hey, you know, there was a weird non-Disney princess.
Yep.
They refuse to acknowledge her as a real Disney princess, even though she's a princess to the Atlantic.
Yeah. She's like an alien or something. She's not a princess.
No, it's because she was, like, not black, but not Latino.
Yeah.
And she had white hair. It was really confusing for kids.
We also have Rizzoli and Isles, third season out this week, Chris.
Oh, lesbian edition. Awesome.
The Newsroom, complete first season. Which is Aaron Sorkin cable news drama.
Yeah. It's
basically behind the scenes of like CNN or something. Major Crimes first season of this week. Formerly The Closer.
Oh yeah, it's the sequel.
The show formerly known as The Closer.
But like instead of the blonde hair woman, it's some redhead woman now.
Well, it's like all the detectives that were like sort of like the side characters, like now they're all the main characters.
But they replaced the woman with Sidra Hegwick with like some redhead woman who was just basically the same role.
Yeah, I think she was in The Closer.
Was she?
According to like promos I've seen, that piece together like the Closer is about. All I know is that she ate like donuts all the time out of her purse. And could, like, use her Southern charm to, like, talk people into, like, confessing the murders or something. We also have Enter the Dragon, 40th anniversary Blu-ray. Apparently has a new, like, documentary about, like, it's, like, Bruce Lee in his own words or something. Ninja 3, The Domination, is on Blu-ray this week. The third in the canon ninja trilogy, which is Enter the Ninja, Revenge of the Ninja, and Ninja 3. Features one of the greatest opening sequences ever, where like a ninja just like runs rampage on a golf course and murders a bunch of like golfers for no reason. Let's see, we got Fairly Legal second season of this week. That's still a show.
That's still legal.
Yeah. Driven is on Blu-ray this week, the Stallone classic.
The weird Stallone, Heath Ledger.
It's kind of like, we were talking about on the Over the Top commentary, which is on the site right now. Before we started that, we were talking about like how Stallone like just like goes in like these weird like obscure sports. So it's like it's arm wrestling, and then it was like indie racing, indie car racing.
No, he was in the original Death Race, so that's actually okay. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of along the lines of racing a car.
Yeah. Was this sort of around like the time of like first Fast and Furious?
Way before, like at least two years before. Because this is before, like, this is back when like F1 racing was like the shit.
Yeah. The only thing I remember from that movie from Germany is like they're like racing the indie cars like in the middle of like Los Angeles.
Yeah, like, doesn't one of the car breaks?
Probably.
The last race is pretty much the end sequence to Cars.
It's like Days of Thunder, basically.
But worse.
Yeah, it's not worse. Because it's not, because it's just bad. It's not, like, unintentionally hilarious like Days of Thunder is.
Yeah.
Necessary Roughness Season 2 is out this week. Apparently John Stamos is coming on the show for Season 3.
Is that the one with, like, the woman who's trying to, like, help every player?
She's, like, the therapist for, like, a football team or something.
And the twist was that, like, she's actually, like, unstable as fuck in her personal life.
I guess, yeah.
I saw, like, the first episode. It's very bad.
Yeah. Her, like, husband cheated on her, and then she, like, divorced him, and then, like, well, I'm going to become a therapist for this football team.
Yeah, I'm going to reactivate my, like, license. And, like, do you have your full license? Like, don't you got to do, like, a yearly test to qualify? Whatever. And then, yeah, like, her personal life is out of control, or, like, her kid's always, like, hate rebelling, her, yeah. And she's flirting with, like, every other person. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, she's flirting with, like, the coach or something. Like,
yeah.
It was so stupid, because it's kind of, like, that's so shoehorned in there. Had some romance elements to it.
Yep. Well, I think there is a apparently I was reading like this article, like USA has like this mandate of like what elements have to be in every other show. It's like sort of like keep the USA like formula or like the USA branding across all their shows. It's like you have to have it, all the shows have to be like case of the week, so there has to be like a story that wraps up every neatly every week. It's like there has to be like I guess like each show has had lay claim to like one specific thing. So like Burn Notice was like, well, we're gonna have we're gonna do like MacGyver spy tips, and that's gonna be our thing. It's like Mike Clower's like, well, we're gonna do like cons and stuff. So yeah, no other show can do like cons. Cons or heists. it's really weird like how USA like makes all their shows like the same. A couple more things about this week. We have Running Scared, the Paul Walker movie, which it's actually pretty good. Like I'd say it's probably the best Paul Walker movie ever.
I remember how surprisingly Running Scared gets, because the opening sequence, it makes it seem really, like, funny.
Yeah.
And then it gets very serious, and then there's so many weird, like, scenarios that pop up.
Yeah, like the blacklight hockey fight. It's definitely worth checking out, if you want to see, Paul Walker actually be pretty okay acting-wise. And, outside of, Fast and Furious. Also have The Philadelphia Experiment on Blu-ray this week, which I think is based on, this, urban legend or, conspiracy theory, where it was, this, battleship that they were testing out this weird experimental technology on. And it was docked in Philadelphia. And it vanished and then reappeared, but then there was rumors, it went to another dimension, or, people went on board and, crew members were, fused into the walls and stuff. So it's, weird, people think they're, testing teleportation technology on this ship or something. So it's, really weird, conspiracy theory about it. And they based a movie on it.
Wait, wasn't that movie, I forget the hell is it called, when the battle cruiser goes through time?
Yeah, that's this one.
No, but, there's another one where, maybe it meant a sci-fi original movie, but it's the concept was unique once, and then there was so many copies.
Well, this one is they're trying to make a cloaking device for battleships, and it disappears, and it comes back 70 years later.
Yeah, and everyone can't remember shit.
Yeah.
Huh. I also remember one where there's another battleship, and it goes to the past, and is this the one, the son is also, a naval officer, and he meets his dad, who's, from, the 50s?
There's one called The Final Countdown.
Right.
Where it's, this, super modern, aircraft carrier goes back in time, but, right before, Pearl Harbor happens.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
And that one is just, a crazy, that one is just completely, an ad for the Navy, because this is, Every type of jet and every type of helicopter and every type of naval equipment you could possibly have is they use it basically for no reason. It's well, better send out our scout helicopter to go scouting, and then we'll send out our attack jets to go escort it. It's just basically the Navy just showing off all their at the time the most cutting edge stuff. Look how the Navy is.
The Final Countdown actually has a really cool, time travel element where someone was, left behind, and then they, age, yep. But they recognize, the thing. It's weird. It's weird.
It's super slow, too. It's a weird, slow 70s sci-fi movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple more things. We have Tosh.0, Cardigans, and Casual Jackets out this week.
He releases DVDs?
Yep, they do. Based on, it's because all the seasons are based on clothes. So, It's all, instead of seasons, it's here's clothes.
It's weird to own that and then own a weird commentary to YouTube.
Yeah, why would you, they're on all the time, so I don't know why we would need to buy them. You're just just turn on Comedy Central, at 10 a.m., 10 p.m. every day, and that's usually on. And then last thing on this week is Sneakers on Blu-ray, the computer hacking classic.
Yeah.
Art Redford.
With and Dan Aykroyd. Yep. So it's back when, like, sneaking passwords and stuff was, like, more complex than it had to.
Yeah. So those are new releases. So we're going into show and tell. And, Fris, did you watch anything over the last week or so?
Yes. I finished up Arrested Development.
Yeah, how do you think the whole season worked now that you've seen it all?
It did not need to be this complex. I like the payoff of it, but, like, I appreciate it overall. But, like, I hate when it ends on, not just one thing, a cliffhanger.
Oh, multiple cliffhangers.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, oh, I'm more confused. I got to go back and watch everything again.
Well, it's either a movie or second season, like another season set up.
Originally they said they weren't, but now they're like, yeah, we are. We're thinking about it. So, I mean, can you imagine if there weren't wasn't a second season?
When they originally said it, it was like, oh, we're going to do like 7 episodes based on each character, and it's going to tell what they've been doing up to the movie. That was like the original plan of what they were going to do.
I hope, yeah, they went against that, hopefully.
Because they like doubled the episode order and then like made it like, it's like the like a jigsaw puzzle. I've heard a lot of people say like it's like a puzzle box or jigsaw puzzle or like weird like mental exercise of like trying to figure out exactly what's happening when.
Yeah, I always forget the track of time going on in this show.
Well, it's because like some episodes are pretty straightforward. Like the George Michael episode, the first one is like, here's what George Michael been doing for like the last couple years. He's been in college. Or like, here's what Mabee's been doing. She's been a high school senior for 5 years. But like the other ones, like the George Senior episodes, like when is this happening? Like what? Like how does this relate to like third season? I don't know.
I don't know. It's, I mean, like, things like that, like, I didn't like. Like, I like when they do, like, parts. Like, when Oscar gets adopted, or, like, sort of just hangs out with Herbert Love's family.
Yeah.
And then they call him the Blind. But, yeah, Buster. Yeah. Right, Buster. And then they call him the Blindside Monster.
Yeah. That Buster episode was so weird.
Yeah. It's weird, funny.
Like, I think Tony Hale's on Veep, so I don't know, maybe he was not doing that while they're doing this, or like he had some other thing going on, but like, cause he's barely in any other episode except for his one episode. That's when it, like, I guess it kind of makes sense because like what he's doing, because he's like afraid to leave the apartment, so he just like stays there, like goes through like his daily routine of like fixing Lucille a martini and then like all this other weird stuff, which like that was like that paid off like a couple of different jokes earlier of like, well, like, well, like all the Buster set up of like, oh, that's why they, when like Lucille came home, it was like, she's like, it looks like spring break in here.
Huh.
But yeah, overall, I think it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what they follow up with. I mean, it's not gonna, it can't
like,
go down.
Find out like what happens to Fake Block and what's going to happen with like, Lindsay versus Sally Sitwell for like whatever Senate race, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
And who murdered Lucille too? Or if she got murdered? And like what happened to Tobias and Marky Bark?
I need to know, like,
is maybe gonna get arrested for statutory rape?
No, she already is in the village.
Yeah,
she's. So she lives there now. But, yeah, she lets me, like, that takes place already, and then, like, it's supposed to be beyond that.
Yeah.
But there's still, like, this weird, like, a lot of things are left unfinished, or, like, I don't even know where the hell is I placed this. But, whatever.
I think someone, if you search, someone already made, like, a timeline of, like, everything that's happened, where everything happens.
Yeah, I saw that.
Someone, there's also an edit, a chronological edit of like the episodes, sort of like Pulp Fiction chronological or something. So, anything else, Chris?
Yeah, I watched The Hangover 3.
Okay.
both me and Joe and I saw this. We liked it. It was a nice like
third conclusion to the story. Like, it deviates from the original formula of, like, getting, like, a roofie happening, and then, like, a blackout, and then all these events, and then picking up the puzzles. Yeah. This is a very straightforward movie.
I heard it's, like, a weird, like, it's not even, like, a comedy. It's, like, a weird, like, action movie with, like, comedy elements in it.
Yeah, it is. It feels like a weird 80s, like, action movie. Where, like, it's not focused on, like, cops, like a cop action movie. It's kind of just like, oh, you're just average people with, like, really on average, like a beyond average, like, circumstances. Mm-hmm. But I fucking loved it. Like, it's one of those movies where if you watch it all on the same day, like, 1, 2, 3, it tells a complete story. You know? Mm-hmm. And people thought it would be, like, the next raunchy, like, oh my god, they went there kind of comedy. And they weren't doing that this time. They took it slow. They took it, like, safe.
Yeah.
Like, you could skip the second movie and still get the gist of the whole, like, series. You know?
Yeah, because it's, like, they probably don't even mention anything, really, about the second one, right? Too much?
Nope. Nope. You don't even see Teddy.
It's all just, like, oh, man. Vegas, we hate Vegas.
Yeah, it's like
the first one. Remember what happened in the first one?
Yeah, it's like, oh, do you just not want to recognize the second movie? Like, they recognize it just slightly. It's like, oh, by the way, like, I have this Asian wife now.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, the one giant, like, funny plot was the giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like, oh, this is gonna be funny. Like, and that was like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, because Alan just gets, like, he gets, like, his inheritance and just, like, goes on a spending spree or something, right?
Nope. He just buys that.
Oh, just because he's rich anyway, so it's just, like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's not even, like, I thought that might be, like, the midpoint of the movie, or it might be, like, the climax or something. Nope. It's the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, but I just felt like, okay, like, the rest of it is just kind of, like, awkward dialogue, and then weird Alan, like, uncomfortable Alan scenes.
Yep.
But yeah, the main focus of the movie is really Mr. Chow. Like, the idea is just to capture him. Like, every time they try to get close to capture him to, like, drag him to John Goodman, he escapes.
Yeah. And they have to, so they have to go to Tijuana first, and then they go to Vegas?
Yep. And then they just, like, walk around Vegas for half the movie.
And, like, they, like, break into a casino at some point, I guess, apparently, according to the trailer.
No. But don't worry, like, I don't want to spoil anything. It's very, like, that's what I mean, like, it's very, linear. There's nothing, like, they don't do any exciting travel, like, there's a time limit at what they have to do, but it's very, like, well-paced. There's no sense of urgency, really.
Even though, Doug is kidnapped.
Yeah.
By a horrifying John Goodman.
John Goodman and Black Doug.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't, it's a good movie, like, it definitely wasn't, like, I would have been a little bit more upset if I saw this, like, opening night. I waited, like, an hour to get in. You know?
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those movies where, like, if you, like, happen to catch it, or if it's on, if you buy, like, a giant combo pack, definitely worth it. Because it's a nice conclusion.
Yep. The epic conclusion.
Yeah.
If they never make a trilogy.
The problem is, they probably are going to make some sort of sequel, which I don't mind either.
I don't know if they will, because it made, like, half as much as the second one.
Because it's also half as funny.
And, it got destroyed by Fast and Furious.
Which, again, after, like, 6 movies, it should follow this formula. They'll try something new. But they didn't. Fast and Furious, like, they stopped doing street racing, but now they're doing weird stunt racing.
It's all about, like, insane over-the-top physics-defying action now. And The Rock. yeah, so anything else, Chris?
I think I watched something else that I don't know what the hell it was.
Did you watch the season finale of Game of Thrones?
No, I'm saving that.
Okay.
I'm saving until the last minute before, like, everyone's spoiling shit.
It can't live up to, like, the episode 9, but it's pretty good setup for next year. Alright, so, sorry, what I've been watching. I watched a ton of stuff. Actually, it was weird, like, apparently starting last Thursday, everyone just decided summer shows start this right now. So there's, like, a ton of shows on. First up, I'd watch the, I don't know if you saw this, Chris, but, like, The Greatest Event in Television History 2 was on.
I saw that.
Okay. What, did you, like, I'm, like, I didn't think it was as funny as the first one, but it was still pretty good.
You know, they try too hard.
Well, the main problem, I think, is that, sort of the making of, like, part of it, where, like, they're showing, like, how they made, like, the shot-for-shot remake of Heart to Heart. That only had one joke, where it's, like, Adam Scott and Amy Poehler hate each other, and they won't do anything unless the other one does it first.
Yep.
So that was, like, every joke was like that.
Like, well, no, there was another joke where, like, Adam Scott thought he'd be working with someone hotter and younger.
Yeah, and then also, like, there's, like, Horatio Sands just, like, sitting there for 9 hours not doing anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't, like, the first one was just, like, went off in, like, insane directions of, like, Paul Rudd was director, and, like, he went over budget and then left, and then, like, John Hamm just got colder and colder and died, and Adam Scott started, like, hearing voices in his head and, like, went off with, like, started, like, mumbling to himself. And there's also, like, in the first one, there was more of, like, they treated Simon and Simon like it was, like, this, like, super famous show, like, everyone's heard of, obviously. Like, both these shows are, like, weird, like, obscure, like, 80s shows that only, like, if you're a fan of TV, you probably know them, but, like, no one really remembers them anymore. Or, like, they're, like, weird cult hits.
They got, like, washed over by way more popular stuff.
Yeah. But, like, the funny part of the first one was, like, they treated Simon and Simon like it was, like, this, like, huge show that, like, is, like, a cultural phenomenon or touchstone that everyone knows.
I mean, how do you not know about Simon and Simon? Yeah. Like, everyone knows Simon and Simon.
It was, like, this whole thing of, like, John Hamm was, like, yep, but I have all DVD seasons, huge fan, it's really an honor to do this. And, like, in this one, they didn't really mention anything about, like, how Heart to Heart is the same, sort of the same thing or, like, anything. It was just, like, yeah, we're doing another one.
It's surprising. It wasn't the greatest yet. Like, I liked it. Like, the concept was funny, but...
The actual recreation was as awesome as the first one. Like, it was dead on. Like, have you seen the side-to-side video yet, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it might be even more spot on than the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but John Hamm's looks. This one just kind of feels kind of like, oh, I get it. Like, it's a running joke, so it's like, eh, they tried.
I think the best part was, like, if you stayed after the credits, they were talking to, like, Nick Kroll, who's, like, Michael Bay's cousin.
I didn't see that.
He's talking about, like, how he's, like, the expert of, like, making, like, ordinary objects in CG. So it was like, yeah, you know, if they don't want to get a comb, we could just, like, CG a comb in there. We could have them do a comb. CG cups. CG hats. CG... It's like, I'm also... I made this, like, algorithm for fluids. So, like, I'm an expert in, like, CG diarrhea. If anyone has diarrhea, I can just put that CG in there. So yeah, it was pretty good. It's only 50 minutes, so it won't kill. Like, if you want to check it out, it's on the site right now. If you want to check it out, it's not gonna waste too much of your time. I wonder if they're gonna do like a third one. And, like, what show would they be? What show could they pull out to do it?
Like, they might try to do something even more famous, like the second spinoff of Golden Girls.
They seem to be in this weird, like, 80s detective show sort of thing.
Magnum P.I.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe Magnum P.I.
But that's not obscure. That's actually really popular.
Yeah. Quantum Leap, maybe, or something?
No, that's popular, too.
Yeah, it's called. I don't know. But yeah, so anyway, so other shows, I watched Race to the Scene, which is on a Reels channel, and it's Dolph Lundgren hosts it. So right away, like, you should be watching it if you're an Everything Action fan. But basically what it is, it's like this weird sort of like Fear Factor or like Amazing Race sort of like competition show where it's like these three teams, they have to like go out in like they have these challenges set up in, like, actual, like, movie locations where they shot movies. So, like, the first episode was, like, they're in a stadium from Forrest Gump, and they have to do, like, this weird, like, football challenge, and they have to eat, like, a ton of chocolate. And then they go to the bridge, or the tunnel from Independence Day, where, like, the, uh, like, uh, part where, like, they have to... Who is it? Was it Vanessa Williams? It wasn't Vanessa Williams, was it? Well, you know, the part where, like, they're in the tunnel, and then the AI is getting blown up, and, like, the dog jumps out of the... Like, last-second dog jumps into the, like, the storage closet.
Vivica A. Fox.
Yes, yeah. So they're at that tunnel. They have to, like, put together, like, this like, puzzle on this door to, like, open the door, and then, like, set off an explosion. And then, like, the whole time, like, Dolph's just, like, on the side, just, like, yelling stuff at them. All this, like, weird, random stuff. Like, my grandma could put that puzzle back together faster than you guys. All this other, like, weird stuff. This random stuff. And it's almost, like, it's almost there. It's not quite there, because it's, like, it's cool that you're in the actual locations, but, like, the stuff the challenges are doing are, like, really stupid. Like, if it was, like, if it was more, like, actually recreating the scenes, instead of, like, we're sort of recreating the scenes, I think it would be cooler.
So you mean to tell me they're doing their own weird version of Heart to Heart, kind of? Like, reaction scenes?
Kind of, but, like, if you turned them into, like, Fear Factor challenges of, like, all right, here's Forrest Gump. Now you have to, like, run through this weird obstacle course that, like, sort of is, like, him running through playing football. While Dolph Lundgren, like, taunts you. Oh, speaking of Dolph Lundgren, apparently, if you're listening to this on Thursday when before 5 p.m., I think, so 5 p.m. Eastern time, Dolph Lundgren is doing an AMA on Reddit. So that should be pretty awesome. I might have to get in there and, like, ask him about what happened to Blackjack or something.
Oh, man. How come they didn't do that? How come they didn't do...
Yeah, how come they didn't make Blackjack, which sounds like the most awesome show ever? Like, John Woo and you on USA. And then also watched... first episode of Graceland, which is, speaking of USA, their new show, which is on after Burn Notice every Thursday, and it's based on a true story of, like, the government seized this, like, Southern California beach house during, like, this, like, drug raid, and they turned it into, like, this headquarters for, like, undercover FBI and DEA and customs agents. They all live together in the same house. And... they're sort of pitching it as, like, oh, man, it's more gritty and realistic and dark than, like, the usual USA shows, but it's, like, some scenes take place at night. That's, like, the only thing makes it, like, grittier than, like, Burn Notice or something. Because, like, still, like, oh, we're going to go surfing it. Like, we're on the beach, we're going to go surfing, and we're having witty banter with each other.
It seems like... it's the worst idea for, like, a joint operation thing.
Yeah, it's like real world, but, like, mixed with, like, undercover cops. Agents.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you think your crime is hard? My crime's harder.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Like, the two lead guys are pretty good. There's some cool, like, undercover, like, improv sort of, like, tension, like, oh, man, can he fake his way out of this situation with these criminals and stuff? And it has, like, a pretty awesome cliffhanger where, like, it sort of, like, puts a, like, 180 on everything you thought the show was going to be about for the whole season.
Really?
Yeah. So it's pretty good. If you're a fan of USA shows, you probably should go check it out.
Oh, man, I hope it's about a single parent struggling.
It's from the guy who made White Collar, so it's sort of, like, more in that. It's, like, White Collar, it's White Collar mixed with, like, Burn Notice, basically.
So it's a show about lying.
Yeah, because, like, they're all undercover, like, trying to, like, make drug deals and stuff. They all, like, fake identities. And then I also watched on BBC America, I think I mentioned it earlier, but In the Flesh, which is this British zombie show, like, zombie miniseries that they had. It's actually a pretty interesting spin on zombies, because it's the basic premise is that there was a zombie outbreak, but they found a cure for it, and now they're sort of, like, reintroducing everyone who was a zombie back into society. And now they have partially deceased syndrome instead of so that's what they call zombies now, is the partially deceased. And so all these zombies are, like, they're put into, like, sort of, like, state hospitals, and they have this medicine that can, like, rebuild their brain function, so they they sort of get their personalities back and they can function back in normal society, but they also have like weird side effects from being a zombie where they don't eat or drink anymore. And they also can't be, they still can't be killed. So at one point someone gets stabbed to the stomach, but it doesn't hurt them because they're a zombie. So still like only headshots can kill them apparently. And so yeah, so basically the show follows this one zombie named Kieran Walker who heads back to his parents pick him up and they bring him back to like this tiny town in Britain. And it's sort of the main sort of conflict is that the entire town like is like super like anti-zombie. They have like this like there's this like group that got built up during the zombie uprising where it's like the Human Volunteer Force where they're basically just vigilantes and went around like murdering zombies. So they're like still like super pretty much everyone in town is still like a Human Volunteer Force person. So you have to like, kind of like keep like here like he has to like hide his room a lot and like no one can know like he's around. And his sister is sort of like in the Human Volunteer Force too. It's like weird like she like hates him now and stuff. So it's a pretty interesting like not the usual zombie stuff.
Yeah, leave it to the British to make like The Walking Dead into like Sissy Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's basically like a zombie dramedy. I think is probably the best way to describe it.
Okay, I guess because like we already have like a kick-ass awesome.
There's a lot of like relationship stuff, but it also has like some pretty funny stuff too. But yeah, a lot of like how like he like he's trying to like rebuild his relationship with his parents and rebuild his relationship with his sister and like. Also, then, like, his, like, best friend comes back, who was, like, he was in, like, Iraq and got killed, but then he got killed by, like, an IED. But then he comes back and, like, half his, like, face is, like, scarred up, but he's still, like, they gave him, like, the medicine is, so now he's, like, back, too. But and his dad is, like, the most gung-ho, like, we need to murder every zombie no matter what person. So yeah, I'm sure it'll be on Netflix sometime soon, because like pretty much every BBC show ends up on Netflix at some point. So if you see it on there, definitely check it out. It's only 3 episodes. But they're going to do a second season, I guess, in next year. So there's definitely some stuff they can expand on there, because there's like this weird, like, there's a weird internet sort of personality called the Prophet of the Undead, who I guess set up some sort of weird zombie commune, or like zombie community that like he's like encouraging all the zombies, former zombies to come to, and like, because like society is never going to accept them, so they can like live together in this commune. And they're like, he's like sort of saying like, they're like the next evolution of humanity. Or it's like this weird like, he kind of seems like the Magneto of zombies or something. Like,
no, we must destroy the humans.
Yeah, or like we are the Homo superior.
Yeah, it's never going to end well when there's always that guy in the group.
Yeah, they don't really. They just introduced that character, but, like, you never see him. You just see him in, like, his weird, like, viral videos that he does. But I'm sure that'll probably be, like, one of the things they do in the second season is, like, I'm sure they'll eventually, like, end up at that commune or something and figure out what's going on there.
I do like how this probably, you took, like, what, probably 2 hours to watch the whole series?
Yeah, it's, like, 3 hours.
Jesus.
And then movie-wise, I watched, there's a documentary on Netflix that just came on called, That Guy from That Thing, which is all about the interview with 12 sort of That Guy character actors.
Nice.
It's just pretty awesome, just like them talk about how they got into the industry and like what their favorite role was and like how they feel about being like not the star of any movie they're in and stuff. So they talk to like Gregory Itzen, Xander Berkeley, and who else? It's like a bunch of people you probably heard of, a bunch of people you maybe haven't heard of, but you know, like, you've seen them before, which, like, they're, all of them say, like, yeah, everyone who comes to me, like, they don't know my name, but they know what character I played, or, like, what movie I was from, or what TV show I've been on, and stuff. So that's a pretty awesome documentary, everyone check that out. Then I also watched Unknown, which, not the Liam Neeson movie, but it's a weird sort of, like, indie crime movie, I guess. Like, it's got like Greg Kinnear and Barry Pepper and
Yeah,
they all wake up in a room together and they don't know, they can't remember who they are, and like Joe Pantoliano is there. He's, like, he's tied up. One guy's, like, hanging off a railing with the handcuffs. And, like, no one knows exactly what happened. So, and then they basically, they figure out, like, this chemical got knocked over during some sort of fight. And
this weird date drug. Like, like, some vat of roofie.
Yeah, aerosol roofie. And so basically the whole movie is like them trying to like figure out who's who and like who kidnapped who. And
who was the kidnapped one, yeah. Who was the victim, yeah.
But it's pretty interesting. It's sort of like, it's kind of like Saw without any none of the torture a little bit. Because like they're all trapped in this room together and they're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, I also like Jim Caviezel is the main guy in it. So that's pretty. It's pretty interesting. It's on Netflix too. If you want to check that out. And then last thing I watched Broken City.
Oh.
Mark Wahlberg versus Russell Crowe. It was okay. It wasn't anything too great. I think it's trying to be like kind of like a noir movie, but it's not really. Like, there's not any big twist in it, or it's not really any like mystery isn't really that great or like that mysterious, because they kind of like. Like from the trailer, like right from the pretty much from the get go, you know the mayor's evil,
and you know like he's just waiting to betray Mark Wahlberg like so fast. Like yeah, come on, you'll help me. So you gotta watch my wife bang people.
So it's never a question of like is the mayor evil. It's just like how long is it gonna take Mark Wahlberg to realize the mayor's evil?
For like such a great detective, he doesn't know shit.
Yeah, there's like a whole thing of like Mark Wahlberg like. He's not. He used to be a cop, but then he did something horrible, and now he's not a cop anymore. He's like a private investigator, and like the mayor's like using it against him, possibly. And it just goes on. Like I think it thinks it's smarter than it actually is, or it thinks too a little bit too much of itself. It's like we got all these Academy Award winning actors. Like this is we're a prestigious movie. It's like no, you're just like a pretty B level thriller. Movie
was the twist that Mark Wahlberg like did this all along?
Oh no he's it's exactly what you expected.
Wait, he genuinely got confused.
Yeah, the whole movie was like, oh, the mayor couldn't possibly be doing this. Oh wait, the mayor's doing this.
God damn it! See, I thought the twist was like maybe Mark Wahlberg like. Actively got himself like into the situation, you know, like there he was tricking.
Well, there is kind of a twist of like why, like what Mark Wahlberg, what he did as a cop comes back to kind of bite him in the ass later in the movie.
Okay.
But it's just like it's a little, it goes on a little bit too long, and it looks like this weird like there's this weird subplot with Mark Wahlberg and his girlfriend, who's like this actress, and she's in her first movie. So. There's all this all these scenes that go at, for like no reason. There's like him like hanging out with her actor friends and stuff, and they go to like the premiere of the movie, and she's like this like just like ridiculous like sex scene that like, Barbara was like, oh god, this is uncomfortable, and then like he turns to, like a drunken asshole at the after party, like, oh, would you beg everybody? So they break up, and you never see the girlfriend again. So like that whole subplot was pointless.
Oh, and it's just like, and like, just like, really prosperity sake, they're like, we just had this awkward scene with Mark Wahlberg being drunk.
Yep.
And we don't know how to connect it to anything.
How can we get Mark Wahlberg drinking again? Okay.
Wait, is he pretty much the same character from the other guys, where he's like, in the ballerina thing? He's like, hey, yeah, I see what you're doing here, dancing.
No.
Damn it.
Oh, actually, a little bit, like, because the scene where he's just, like, yelling at her, and like, oh, would you bang that guy? Would you bang everyone to get your role? What?
I don't know what's going on here.
Is that what acting is? Porn? But yeah, I don't know. It's, maybe if it's on, like, Netflix or something, and you want to kill some time, it's worth watching. If you're a huge like Russell Crowe versus Mark Wahlberg, or like Mark Wahlberg fan, maybe.
Is there actually a fight scene between them? Because I feel like
no,
there's none.
No.
See, yeah, I feel it's like this is a political.
It's like a verbal like pissing match between them. Like, who's more macho?
Yeah, I thought there would be like at least a car chase, possibly like they're drawing guns on each other.
Like there is a car chase like a, and there's like a fight scene, but it's Mark Wahlberg against like the mayor's like goons.
Yay!
So, yeah, it's definitely not one of the best better Mark Wahlberg movies. It's no Contraband or anything, which was like the movie that came out the exact same time last year as Broken City. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. So I think we pretty much wrapped this thing up for the week. Unless there's anything else you can think of, Chris?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, so if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for reviews, videos, features. Go up there right now for our over-the-top commentary, our commentary for the month of June, where we try to figure out what the hell's going on in the world of professional arm wrestling with Stallone.
Back when you could just arm wrestle your, for your son's love back?
Yes. No matter what Robert Loggia says. And yeah, so that's on the site right now. I'm going to say it's probably a safe bet that next week we're going to have a review cast of Man of Steel along with the regular podcast, so keep an eye on the site for that. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action. You can follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/evaction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com, follow us on Tumblr. You can go to iTunes and search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to us on there. Rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. You can also find us on Stitcher by going to stitcher.com. And search for Everything Action. You can stream us in there. You can download podcasts in there. And you can also email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.